read out of Matthew chapter 1. I have two things I want to do. At the end, I think there's a word and there's some ministry that the Lord really would connect us to our place. We started with that idea of a play, the crazy prophetic Christmas play, and then it's just turned in for me a crazy prophetic Christmas, because there's so much sound and experience that's happening with the Lord. And I realize in the six characters in the Christmas story that covers about 18 months of time, Zacharias, you have Elizabeth, you have Mary, you have Joseph, you have then Simeon, and you have Anna. An 18-month span of time, all of them come onto the world stage. All of them become incredibly connected to what God was doing to bring his son. And yet all of them were able to advance because God met them by the Spirit, prophetically, by his voice, by angels, by visions, in dreams. So he could advance this company of six people to shift the entire world history and change the whole way we count our calendar. It's incredible work of the Spirit. And Wednesday, I'm going to, sometimes it's hard to go, well, how do I connect to Zacharias, or how do I connect to Mary? I mean, Mary, she's like a one-time show. Nobody else gets to do what she did. But it isn't the person of itself. Every person in the scripture opens a door for an experience that we can have with God in our own life in the parallel universal principle that's there. You know, there's always a universal inside a particular. So there might be a certain experience that happens to an individual inside the Bible, but inside that person and that experience is a principle, or is a truth, or is a way God works with all of us. And if we can step into that, oftentimes we can unlock where we're locked up. We can come out of the confusion where we can't see, simply because we can step into somebody who's already walked through what we're walking through. And a lot of times it's just getting permission and practice. So Wednesday night, I'd like to practice with everybody how to find yourself in Zacharias, how to find yourself in Elizabeth, how to find yourself in Mary, how to find yourself in Joseph, how to find yourself in Simeon, how to find yourself in Anna. And not all of them will be like, oh, yeah, 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 but you'll find something of you in every one of them, and then you'll probably find somebody that you go, ah, that really is how God's dealing with me. Which will open us for the next Wednesday when we do the crazy prophetic Christmas play, because it's meant to have prophetic encounters where God connects to us. Ever since the Holy Spirit came and Joel was used as the backdrop to explain his coming in the book of Acts, we were taught and know for certain that now in the language of the Holy Spirit is prophecy, tongues, visions, dreams, prophecies. He's a very communicating God to bring open the word so that we can see, so that we can hear, so that we can prophesy, so that we can decree. And this is the Holy Spirit we serve. And as I've been praying a lot into the small groups, I keep hearing these two pillars, which are all throughout the New Testament, Spirit and truth, or Spirit and the Word, because without... These are the two main means to which we are sanctified, where we are matured, where we are brought up into our identity and to become like Jesus Christ. So even though the Christmas story is one we're all familiar with, and we want to reopen the door of experiencing it in a new way through the six characters, each of us are in a storyline that God has set in motion before time began. And none of us are like, extras. There are no extras in the kingdom. In fact, the truth is, we're all co-stars to the star, Jesus Christ. And if we can connect to that, then there's the opportunity to really find the fulfillment of life in this relationship with Jesus Christ is unlimited. Wednesday, I was seeing a picture throughout the afternoon. It got strong and clearer, and then it just grew in the next day. I saw, as it were, Jesus the director about to bring a new production of himself on the earth. Holy Spirit was in the production mode. He was collecting, directing, and Jesus was the star. But in the midst of this, he was passing out scripts to each of us, every one of us in this room, all of the body of Christ. And there were new scripts in that they were new things, maybe something we were to learn of him, to emulate, to practice. We were to practice in his presence, and we were all practicing by ourselves. We weren't given other people's scripts. We weren't even given the whole script. We were just given our part. But in our part, we were made whole, because the wholeness of Jesus was found in our part. Yet our part represented a portion of who Jesus was in his fullness. And this practicing in his presence was so important, because there we were able to truly become what he had given us to be. So the script, the scripture, the promise, the means in which he was communicating to us about who he was for us, who we are for him, how we are to be to him, how he is to be to us, we were growing that. And because he was ready at some point, once he had determined, because Holy Spirit and Jesus, they're the ones that know what's going on. Holy Spirit's the one in charge of the church on the earth. There was a time when the screen, the curtain would be pulled back, and this new manifestation or new season of the demonstration of Jesus Christ on the earth in his church would appear. We've called them Jesus movements. We've called them revivals. We've called them awakenings. But the truth in all of those is at some point of Jesus is finally seen again, received again, demonstrated again, and breaks forth. The prepping of it is an individual, heart-to-heart, person-to-person, before God, and practicing what he is saying till what he is saying we are. What we are is what he's saying. We've become one in that sound. And there's no limit to any of us experiencing as much of God that we want in the moment we're in, except that there is always massive warfare. It's a storm, the firestorm that Dana described. And the way we anticipate getting out of it, and then it doesn't go that way, and then it doesn't go this way, and doesn't go that way. And a lot of external things shifting, I find for me, so that I just go center further and further into Jesus Christ. And then I kind of just start to go, well, it really doesn't matter what happens outside. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that's determining the outcome of anything is what's happening on my inside. So I'm not going to be worried about the outside. I'm going to keep my focus on the inside. Christmas is the story of God bringing himself to earth. The second advent will be the story of us bringing ourselves into heaven, becoming one with what Christ has accomplished, acknowledging the glorified Christ, knowing him in fashions that are beyond the only begotten Son, but now is the firstborn of many brethren. A totally different paradigm, but the principles are the same. So I want to share Joseph for a second, Mary for a second. Joseph, when he was overwhelmed with the news that Mary brought, and he said no. Mary, who was rejected with the yes she gave to God, and had to find support in the Spirit. And then I believe at the end, God wants to do something to activate our place in this drama. And again, we're not trying to get Jesus back on the earth into a manger. The truth is, Jesus is coming to reveal himself in his glory and his goodness and his majesty and his deliverance and his power in his church. He's going to appear in his church before he appears for his church. He's going to be seen in the body of Christ before he comes for the body of Christ. So we're not getting out of here, escaping from something. You know, it's not necessary. We're taking over. He's coming to conquer and to triumph in his fullness. And yet, it's such a precarious thing, because if we look on the ground, we look like the lamb for the slaughter brigade. Yet we're the inseparable from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We're learning to get into Christ. Further and further in, to agree with full more and to allow him to have expression wherever we are. So Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. This is such a key, this next verse too. But while he thought about these things. So Joseph is given the news. Maybe Mary told him himself. Maybe the report gets back after Mary and the overwhelmingness of being impregnated by God through the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, left and went to be with Elizabeth. We don't know how the communication happened, but she's found with child and he doesn't really buy into this idea. But he's a just man. He's a good man. He has character and he doesn't want to put her into a public display, which in the biblical times would mean you could bring her to being stoned, an honor killing. In the current days, we would call it. Or we wouldn't, but other religions will. That it's to bring back restore the honor of the family. This has been disgrace. You've been the harlot. But he's thinking, so he doesn't want to do that. So he wants to release her into her future and detach himself from the future he's releasing her. And he wants to do it quietly. But then the key is that while he thought about these things. The word think, thought, is like he really just was going into that. Like, how do I do that? What would be the way? And I want to say this because I just feel this is really for all of us to enjoy. There's so much that the Lord could say to us if we can quiet ourselves. So often we get so active in just dealing with life that we're just reacting to every part of life instead of going, okay, before I react. Because you see, when it says he was not willing to make a public, he was actually using his will to stop his emotions from flaring and reacting emotionally beyond where he'd want to be. So he was pausing, he was quieting, he was counting to 10. Just getting, And because he's in this posture, I don't know how many times I've just responded too quickly and kept going too hard. And I can't hear. There's no reason for an angel to show up because I wouldn't even recognize it. There's something in this. While he thought about these things. While he thought. So while he's in this 3 months, we know that Mary's up with Elizabeth and he's at home. And he's sorting this out. So while he's thinking about this, an angel appears to him in a dream. And because he's not made conclusions, he's moving in a direction, but he's not trying to force it. He's not trying to take advantage of someone else. He's just trying to find his own self. He hears what he needs to hear. He hears, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife. We all have to become a part of the story where we have significance in the story God is speaking to us to come to. He was giving up his dream of being a husband, having his own carpentry business, having lots of little bambinos. And he was now like married and he's being about to be given the assignment of being stepfather to the Son of God. Wasn't on what he planned. But God's speaking to him, don't be afraid. Relax. Settle back in. For that which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit. You know, we all want to tell each other what we know about God, and most of us won't listen to what someone tells us that they know about God. We have to hear God tell us. We all have to tell. We all have been told now in the new covenant that no one's going to teach each other to know the Lord. We're all going to know the Lord. He's going to put his laws in our mind and write them in our heart. We're going to experience him in forgiveness. And thereby he will be merciful to us. And our sins and lawless deeds, he'll remember no more. And we'll have this place that we're learning. So he goes on and says, she will bring forth the son and you'll call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. And so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Joseph is the only one of the six characters who gets a scripture. powerful, important. Scriptures are so important because once given, they're for yours forever. And they are a door into an eternal, increasing truth experience. And it's affirmation for what's happening, and it's the way you lock in and hold your place when the war comes in. And that's, I shared that in the first service about the Annunciation, that the word, when the experience can be connected to Scripture, then Scripture becomes our reference point to find the Lord, but it also becomes our defense. You do not say to the devil, get away from me, I'm anointed. You don't even say, I just had an experience in Jordan River, and heavens opened and the Holy Spirit fell on me. And I was called God's favorite son. He could give a rip. He's the dragon. He's the fascinator. He is Hollywood persona. He will overwhelm you. You will go, what, who, when? You won't even know your name by the time he's done with you. He's a deceiver. I mean, it's just on and on. He's the dragon. He's the snake. So Jesus didn't do that. He just said, it is written. Now, when I say that, to hold my place, when I'm being warred over, it doesn't make the devil go away. Jesus didn't say, it is written, and the devil, whoa, you're using the Bible now, I'm getting out of here. No, he centered himself, so he didn't have to enter into the temptation. He recentered himself. Next time, it is written. Next time, it is written. The devil finally leaves because he's finding no access, no entrance point. He's going, I gotta recenter, I gotta get this guy off guard again when he's not in the Word. The Word is so good. Thank you so, God, for the Bible. For the Bible that we can find ourselves in the storyline. Oh, I love the fact that he always will take everything of the Spirit and bring it to truth, because truth and Spirit sanctifies. Not one without the other. You have to have both in place. And the Word of God is the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. And all Scripture testifies to Jesus. All Scripture takes us to Jesus. Jesus becomes the place of union and communion and delight. And that is super esoteric when you're in it. It's like, woo! I mean, somebody's looking at you and they're going, what's happening to you? And you go, I'm having an encounter with the living God, and he is changing my life. And I am, wow, this is so good. And they're going, okay. You go ahead, just be fine. Just don't put that on me. Unless something starts leaking beyond that and you're affecting others, and in the atmosphere that you're having inside starts happening on the outside, and people get healed and saved and helped, and peace starts coming. Then they're going, how do you do that? But when you're in that moment, that again is the transformation process, but it's still based with truth. And when you're not, when the devil's coming and saying, if you really are what you just had that experience in, prove it. That's when we have to say, no, I don't have to prove anything. It is written. And that's that backstop. Everybody's talking about the backstop of Brexit. This is the backstop of the church. It is written. And we all are learning what that place is. So Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him, his wife. And that word take is a picture of collecting to yourself, just like in the rapture. He took it to him, his wife. And he did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. So they were awesome. They were in sync. So let's go to Elizabeth for a second. Luke chapter 1, I think it's about, because Mary was like, she was already in 3 months earlier. She was totally in, and she'd been overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit, and we won't talk about that. Verse 39, she runs off to Elizabeth, which is 80 miles south of Nazareth, which is probably maybe 8 to 10 day caravan trip. Like, think of a train. You traveled with groups. She got onto a group that was heading south. She got to down to where Elizabeth was, and it says, now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't care. You got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you just need help. You need an influence. You need an encounter. We need an experience. This whole thing that we're walking into is sight unseen, but it isn't inexperienced. It is truly all experienced by faith in His presence, alive in hope, that when you can learn, when we learn to take our little script and practice it in the presence, we start to have this capacity to have an influence, to be influenced by the wonderful one. And so this Elizabeth, who spent 5 months just being quiet because she was carrying a miracle that lifted the reproach of her journey of life. And she's just in it with the Lord, unto the Lord. And now she's 6 months pregnant. Here comes Mary. Mary says, "Hi, Elizabeth." And boom, baby leaps. Spirit of God falls on her. And she just goes, whoa. She spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." It's the same Holy Spirit who prophesied through Gabriel to Elizabeth, who came and to Mary, who overwhelmed him with the power and created within her the Son of God in the womb, is now speaking through Elizabeth that you're still the blessed among women. And now she goes, how could it be? Why was it granted to me? The mother of my Lord should come to me. I want to say, every one of us, let us remember in this season, this is a season to celebrate beginnings that will have completion. There is a completion to every beginning. There is a completion to every beginning. There is nothing God starts that He just says, oh, well, we'll start over here now. This is the season to celebrate the beginnings in our spirit, in our journey life, in what has led us, our beginnings, because there is a completion, a set completion. So she's going, the mother of my Lord. She sees beyond what others can see. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Whew. We're carrying Christ. We're carrying promise. We're carrying miracles. We're carrying destinies. We're carrying things that have yet to come to pass that were given to us. And by faith, we received them and we're carrying them. And when someone else is carrying the same Christ, the same promises, the same directions, when they speak, we come alive. And the Spirit of God comes on us. And then we can come alive in our spirit and then speak back to the one who just wakened us up. That's what we do in the spirit when we prophesy. That's another part of small groups, is to be able to release prophetic sound to one another. The baby leaped. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. We need to tell everybody that. Blessed is she who believed. Blessed are you for believing. You're blessed because you believe. And there will be a fulfillment of everything that was told to you by the Lord. There will be a fulfillment of everything that was told to you by the Lord. Blessed are you for believing. Blessed are we for believing. And this utterance, she's prophesying, she's blessing, she's decreeing, she's declaring. This is the communication. This is what I believe Ephesians and Colossians mean by we're speaking to one another in spiritual songs and hymns and melodies and we're declaring the spirit over to each other, not the flesh. We're recognizing the word of the Lord over someone. We're acknowledging the word of the Lord someone's sharing. We're saying, yeah. And Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary comes, hello. Elizabeth goes, whoa. Then she says, man, you are carrying something so important. And you affected me when you spoke. And you are blessed because you believe, because it's coming to pass. We are in the beginning moment, but we're going to see the end. We're going to be in the celebration, the completion, the trumpet sound. Whoa! Now Mary comes alive and goes, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in Christ, in God my Savior. This is, if there's anything I've learned over time, if I want to hold myself in a spiritual continuum, if I want to stay connected to eternity in a temple setting that's in a storm setting, if I want to recollect myself back to truth and Holy Spirit, then I have to do two things. I've got to tell my soul, bless, magnify, make God big, turn your affection on God. Take the truth, the promise, the hope, and magnify God in it. Shift your direction. Our soul is the part of us that's getting saved in the journey. Our soul is like the little kid in the back seat of the car. Are we there yet? How long? I'm tired. I have to pee. Always wanting to control the journey. Because it is the part that is being saved through the journey. Our souls are saved through the journey of faith. That means that they are, my spirit was born again. My body's going to be given a new body. My soul is being redeemed, being restored, being brought back to submission, to giving, yeah. I guess however long it is, it's going to be. I'm okay with the journey in the back seat. I still have to pee, but we'll sort that out. You know, honesty, we'll still get God to stop for you. But when my soul wants to hijack the trip and control and manipulate my future, I turn to my soul and say, bless the Lord. Soul, bless the Lord. You come on, you've been in the back seat with your parents turning around. I said, we're not there yet. I'll let you know. No, we're not stopping. We just stopped 5 minutes ago. I told you to use the restroom before we left. Hold it. The Lord just drive along. I mean, he's got a billion of us. Billion of us, and he's trying to synchronize us. Give us here, practice this line. You know, today, practice this, practice your script. Get your Christmas story ready. Oh, so rejoice, magnify the Lord. You know, this is what your soul is meant to do. Your soul is a magnifier. Your soul will magnify whatever it focuses on. It will magnify fear. It will magnify defeat. It will magnify dread. It will magnify past traumas. It will magnify whatever you look at. So you have to take your soul and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget any of the benefits. Let's do that. This is like driving. Okay, let's just see. Who can find the first noun that begins with the letter A? Oh, let's look at the, let's find, who can find a out-of-state license plate? You've got to focus the soul away from its complaint, its distress, its duress, and say, let's look at this. But we get to look and see Jesus. Amen. Oh, so she says, my soul does magnify the Lord. My soul, magnify the Lord. Remember all of his benefits. Try that tomorrow. Try just remembering all his benefits. A lot of times we're stuck on what we're not getting, so we can't thank him for what we do have. We're stuck on the fact that it's not working the way we wanted it, so we can't give him confidence in that it's going to work out the way it's supposed to. We go into the negative, and the negative gets bigger and stronger and more powerful till we just think our soul is such, it will shut down the trip. It will say, I'm not driving anymore. And yet God's trying to say, come on, if you just stay with me, I'll get you saved. I'll get you free from the fear that drives you, that wants control over everything. I'll bring you into trust and unity and harmony. With patience, you will possess your soul. And then once, if we keep the soul connected to praise, then the spirit can rejoice. Your spirit is an unlimited source of joy in Christ. Christ has joy to break forth from the Holy Spirit. And once joy starts breaking up and joy comes forth, then we can start seeing what we can't see. We can prophesy what we can't prophesy. We can decree things that we can't declare. The power of prophecy is not to give to each other as often as it is to just speak out over our own life and toward the Lord, which we'd call the confession of our hope. So, Holy Spirit, read the rest of her song. It's a good song, the Magnifica. It is a beautiful song of that God's willingness and ability to take the underdog and make him the overcomer. Take them from nothing to something and take the ones who have something to nothing. It's the great equalizer. It's beautiful. But I need you to see something in Hebrews chapter 6. And then we're going to close and release that word. Because God was coming to Moses. Moses was given the assignment to take Israel out of Egypt. He'd come and he told them the good news. Everybody had gotten excited about it. He went to tell Pharaoh the good news. Pharaoh said, "Who's God that I should obey him? You guys have way too much time on your hand. From now on, make the same bricks without the straw." And then he put burdens on the people, and the people's burdens became so oppressive. And Moses is going, "God, this is not deliverance." And God, in his, you know, classic fashion, starts prophesying to Moses. "Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to come with such a strong hand that by the time you leave, you will be God to Pharaoh. I'm going to free my people. I'm going to take them out. I'm going to become Lord. I'm going to show them how powerful I am to overwhelm the circumstances they're locked up in. I'm going to take them out of their prison. I'm going to take them. They're going to come out with wealth and riches. You ain't seen nothing." So Moses is going, "Whoa." Because if you can be a man that can be influenced in the presence of God, you have power to help others even if they can't yet receive it. There's something about it. If you're going to have a deliverance ministry, you're going to have to learn to hear God by yourself in the presence of God, to which you become so convinced that you're even willing to risk telling others if he tells you to tell them. It's just a process. Moses goes, he tells the elders. Elders say, "Oh, you are nothing but a problem. You haven't brought us any deliverance. It's not got any better since you came. It's worse. It's your fault. God judge you." And the Bible says in Exodus, they said that because of bitterness, because of the overwhelmingness of the bondage had done to their soul. See, your soul is not impervious to what you're going through. It's a magnifier. It's making tracks all the time. It's recording the song. Not just the good ones, the bad ones, the negative, the emotions. It's recording it all. It's all there as like, it's just happening. And so all of a sudden, what do we do? What do we do? Because we're people of promise. You have destiny. You've been given promise. You have things that God spoke over your life. You said yes to. You've heard the Lord. How do you walk through that to the other side? So it says in Hebrews chapter, I think it's 6, verse 13. Abraham is our example of how you walk through to the other side. When God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. "For men indeed swear by greater, and an oath of confirmation is for them an end of all dispute." Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, you and me, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. He swore himself seven times. Seven times, I promise the same thing. That by two immutable things, which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong, now catch this, strong, this is, I'm telling you, here's a secret we've neglected. And the longer I live, the more I live here. Because where else am I going to go? He has the words of eternal life, but I'm not the one in charge of when they happen. By two immutable things, we might have a strong consolation. We might have the strength of the comforter, the consolation, the parakletos, the help, the strong consolation who have fled for refuge. You see, you can't live in this world and still believe God. After a while, you're going to lose the vision, the hope, the dream. You're going to look around at the poison and the betrayal and the delays, and you're going to wonder, what in the world? Am I wrong? Did I make a mistake? Did something happen? Did I miss the moment? Are we in a new season? Did he change? And we're just going to go into that because it's just insidious. It's filth. It's all vile to take us to let go of the precious that God gave us in his promises. So we need to flee for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. The word set before is it's set before you. It's what your eyes are on. It's what your mind's on, thinking on. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, it says of Jesus. It's something that you're going, sorry, I just don't want, I'm going to keep my eyes on this one thing. The joy, this hope set before me. And then it says, listen, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You ever seen those good movies where you've got a guy going through life and it's just getting worse and he's trying to help people and it's not getting any better and the circumstances are getting so terrible and there's no way he's going to be able to come out of this within his own resource, and somehow he just ties himself to something? Well, we got to tie our soul to hope. We got to tie our soul to the hope that God spoke, because the hope that God spoke is where the presence is. Do you understand? I live in this stuff. I know what it means to hear God speak. I know what it means to leap and go, yay. And I know what it means to go, oh, what a delay. I know what it means to make mistakes with what I've been given. I know what it means to go ahead of myself. I know what it means to not go. I know what it means to be stubborn and not let my God change me when he's trying to shift something. I just know it all. But through it all, this word, if you're going to be in God's presence, you have to get used to the fact that he's super positive. Yeah. Massively optimistic. Doesn't think he can't do anything. And talks like he is doing everything and it's all done. So it's just conflicting. And your soul's going, I need resolution. I need some answers. I need some sorting things out. I need to get this thing clear. And God says, come over here and just look at this. Knowing that our soul is like a little two-year-old. Just distract it. Oh, lights, beauty, sparkles. Use it to your advantage. Use it to your advantage. Don't make your soul... Your soul is going to want to pee all the time. Tell it, turn off, turn on. Look up, lift up your eyes, see your salvation, have an encounter, rest in there. Let's go inside the presence. That's where the hope is. Ho-ho! You go, I don't know how to get there. Yes, you do. Just grab the line, pull yourself up. It's an anchor to your soul. Your soul's connected to that hope. If your soul can get up to that, where that hope is, it can magnify the Lord. It can see again. It can feel again. It can believe again. Therefore, and guess what? You get up there. Who's the first person you find? Jesus! Jesus! He's like celebrating. You made it. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Let's have a party. Come on up, I want to show you what I'm doing. Whoa, come on up, you're going to love what I'm doing. It's like the ultimate Santa Claus toy maker, I don't know. But come on up, oh, look at this. Look at my glory, this is all for you, we're all one, we're all here. Come on, let's go talk to Dad. He's sitting on the throne of grace, you can sit on his lap. And when you're talking to him, don't worry about, just bring all those promises, those confessions, just bring them with you. That's your Christmas list. Whoa. And just tell him what he said to you. And say what you've heard him say to you. and say what I've said to you and say it again. Because here in my presence, we will celebrate what I've said. There'll be no conflict against you. There'll be no doubt risen against you. There'll be no, you don't have a right to say that because look what you did yesterday. Doesn't matter. It's all here. You're there. Jesus is there. And there we are. Oh, Shama. There's some, oh, Holy Spirit, come on. He's more than able. He's more than able to take each of us and bring us into the hope that takes us into the presence behind the veil. Richard, come up, and I want you to release that word. And I want each of us right now to start. There's a celebration of beginnings. How many of you here have had a beginning that's not yet been finished? Right? Something said, but it hasn't yet come to pass. Ha, shokimaha. But it's time to celebrate the beginning because as we believe, it will come to pass. Can we stand together? I wouldn't be surprised right now the Holy Spirit's not starting to just stir up the baby, awakening the baby. Cammy and I did this crazy thing, you know. She's doing a lot better, wonderful. She keeps getting, so thank you for all your prayers. Just gain. She wanted to do sourdough, so we started a sourdough starter. Get this little dry powder, put it in, put some salt, put some water and some wheat, and then it starts growing. That stuff, man, that's crazy. You got to feed it every day. And if you don't feed it, it just starts going like. But it doesn't matter how ugly it looks. You just take it, you open that top, you lift it up, you get some more flour, you get some more water, and it goes. It just starts magnifying. It starts coming alive. That's what Jesus is going to do right now. By the Spirit of God, He's doing it right now. It's gifts coming. Go ahead. You can release what you saw.
My children, I am the giver of good gifts. I am the Father who cares about you and loves about you in ways that you can never begin to imagine. But I am also a God who is hungry for souls. But I am hungry for your soul, as your pastor has said so well, to become all that it could become. And so as the giver of good gifts today, I know what you need to draw close to me individually. I know what you need to want to desire to be one with me. I know where you are, and I know what you think you can't do, but you're dealing with a God who can do all things. And I say to you today, as the giver of good gifts, I am moving in your own spiritual being, in your own spiritual life, to bring you to the place where you say you cannot be, or where you say, I do not know how to get there, or where you might say, they're there, but I just don't think that's for me. I say to you today, I am coming to bring you where I want you to be, because I see you differently than you do, and I'm hungry for souls, and I need your help.
Yeah.
And I am not going to let you stay where you are. I didn't bring you here upon this earth in order that the world would overcome you, but that I would overcome you by the blood that I shed on the cross.
Yes.
And so I say to you today, watch in your life, because I'm going to not only rock your life, I'm going to remove the rocks that you can't remove.
Yes.
I'm going to make you into the people of God that you have not only, you have only known as a name, but now you will know that you are a people of God, a person devoted to God, a person who hungers for God, and you can do all things because my Spirit is going to cause it to happen. This is my gift to you during this Christmas season, but get ready because the giver of gifts is not about to stop.
Now lift up your hands, your heart, your imagination, and receive. and magnify and receive. Just declare to the Lord outlandishly that you believe that he is more than able, that he is doing what he's saying. He's going to finish what he started. He's going to complete what he called us. Come on. Come on. We are receiving. We are agreeing with you, Lord Jesus. We are blessing you. We magnify you. It will be declared that we are blessed of the Lord. We are the blessed of the Lord. Oh, bekaramadima. Come on, just and you, as soon as you got your own words to share, share it. As soon as you say, oh, I can see you bringing this healing. I can see you saving the families. I can see you touching the state. I can see you releasing my neighborhood. I can see you bringing my future forward. Yeah, say it, say it. Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Oh, show. Show, we're coming up, we're coming up. We're going to stay in the presence behind the veil. Whoa. She. Now I want you to, oh, Kayama. Oh. Every one of us has been called of God to be a co-star with the living Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us given a part that is whole in Christ, creating the wholeness of Christ within us as every cell represents the full DNA everywhere. We carry all that Christ is and who we are, but we're given uniqueness in what we are to do. God wants us to learn who he is and what we have been given to do, to celebrate in his presence the promises given, to decree over our lives that the future that was given will be fulfilled and completed, to prophesy to those that we prayed over that they will fulfill their destiny, to see beyond where we are, to see above where we are, to see the outcome different than we have been now driven to be forced to accept. We are not signing off. We're signing on. We're coming up. We're rising up. There's something of God that is wanting, and I'm receiving that gift. But I believe we're going to just leave by doing one simple thing, and then the prayer team will be up here. You can stay as long. But I believe it would be powerful right now to say to your neighbor, to somebody else, that to just declare a blessing over them. Big and large. Big and large. Declare over them, the Lord will fulfill and complete everything he started in your life. He will answer every prayer that you've ever prayed. He will break through every barrier that's being kept against you. He will deliver everyone you have cried out for. Big and bold blessings over one another. Let's do it. Just find somebody and be a giver of life, a prophesier, a blesser. I bless you online. Every one of you, welcome, and you are a giver of life. I bless you. You will fulfill what God started in you. The inkling, the dream, the yes, the amen. Your children will call you blessed. They will rise up. They will not only serve the Lord, but they'll call you blessed. They'll recognize the gift that you gave them in the faith. Oh, ka ba 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 ba. Brian to Brian. Go prophesy to Brian. Ba da ba tu ko ba. Oh, they will. I say that the dream of the business will be fulfilled. The marriage you wait for will come to pass. The children you're waiting for will be brought forth. You will see. You will see the ministry you were given to be completed. There will not be a loss. You will not be driven out of the land. You will be given residency and citizenship. You will be welcome to stay. You will be given a place at the table. You will be blessed in your future. You will know the fulfillment of God in all things. He is going to magnify himself in your life. He's going to bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you because that's who he is. He's a blesser. He's a giver of good gifts. He is the Father of lights with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. And he's doing it now in you. Hasaha ba 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 ba. Oh, Jesus, praise you. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Oh. Keep going. I'm going to release a blessing to everyone so you're welcome to move into your day and you're welcome to stay in this place of encage. And I bless you with this. I bless each of you with confident, bold access into the presence behind the veil, to the holiest of holies, where Jesus, your high priest, is, where your hope is secured, and where your soul joins to agree and is influenced by the divine nature of God, until the divine nature of his utter victory and triumph and confidence assures your soul to step back into the earth, into the day you have to live, and overwhelmingly see it differently. I bless you with transformational prayer in the presence and promise of God for this week till you begin to receive. And I bless you with the new gifts that are coming, new words that are being spoken, new sounds that are being heard, and finding yourself even more clearly in the redemption and the plan of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.